His name is to be praised, isn't it? Amen. So we've been studying about Holy Spirit. We started out asking, who is he? And truly realizing and just reaffirming that he is a part of the Godhead. He is sovereign. He is God. Last week, boy, what a challenging teaching with, is he a person? And started out talking about his mind, will, and emotions. Really hadn't thought about that with how he is a person. He has that mind, that all-knowing mind. That's probably what I've associated myself with Holy Spirit more than anything is, and that's what a lot of the church at large today teaches, is that he just basically gives you a way of understanding the scripture. He reveals what it is for everything. But there's so much more. You've got his will, which we know with the word, but we also know his specific will, which I think we, a lot of times as us as Pentecostals, really truly realize. And we really sense what that is, and that's why we have people like Jeff and Nancy Clark in, that they confirm what God's already telling us for our specific will. But then also the emotions aspect of it, and how we grieve the Holy Spirit at times. And I mean, that just cuts so straight and deep that it's real sobering in realizing that you're taking God everywhere with you, no matter what it is that you're going through. And this week, Robert Morris continues with some of this teaching on, this is going to be a little bit of a history lesson, but also more of a revelation for, I think, a lot of people on, is he Pentecostal? So let's go ahead and watch the movie. Robert Morris certainly has a way of putting things, doesn't he? And so that last part that he was talking about there with fully receiving the Holy Spirit, I'll say I am probably blessed before more than I realized that I don't have a lot of other religious stuff that I've had to shed off since I've been saved. I wasn't brought up in the church. So what I've received, I've learned this from the start. I've learned receiving the Holy Spirit since the first year that I was saved. What's your guys' backgrounds? Did you guys grow up in a church where you actually fully walked with the Holy Spirit? Ashley and I spoke at a church with that denomination before, and they had in their booklet or their bulletin, I guess it is, it said they light candles to represent when the Holy Spirit arrives. And at the end of the service, they put that candle out. And so it's just, that's one of those things that it's like you don't realize how much you're quenching the Holy Spirit when you're putting them in a box. Yeah, you don't have the ability to turn them on. Oh, you want to crank up the volume a little bit louder. Okay, nope, turn it back down. I mean, it's so easy, and it's so easy to fall back into trying to do something like that too. It's always an awareness. Somebody else, I think, Barb. Yeah, Diane. I would say the one thing that I don't know who picked out the. Did you guys pick out the worship tonight, Diane? Hezekiah Walker. Every praise. So I got to tell you guys this story. Back in, I think it was February, I went to my sister-in-law's funeral. And her family, one of her uncles is a Pentecostal preacher. And he gave part of the eulogy. And you know what he preached on? Holy Spirit. This service was being held in a Baptist church. my nephew was leading worship because they decided to have a praise time in the middle of service, and so they sang a couple of songs, and that was the first time that we had heard that every praise. Had she not heard from the Holy Spirit to play that song tonight, he would not have reminded me of that story. Even during that praise time, my grandpa, that I did not know that was baptized in the Holy Ghost, started speaking in tongues in the middle of it. Ashley just leans over to me. Grandpa's speaking in tongues. But, I mean, that's the thing, is Holy Spirit's moving. And just like that, across all denominations, he wants to move. He wants to bring unity. And so he was just reemphasizing that if you don't believe that Holy Ghost exists, guess what? He does. Because that's the only way she was able to survive cancer for, I think it was 13 years. I mean, so, and she'd been through a number of surgeries. With that unity, what did you guys think of the comparison of the Tower of Babel to the Day of Pentecost? What did you guys think there? Yeah, one of the things with that was, I don't remember if it was last year or the year before, a couple of us went up to see Tim Sheets up in Maranatha, and a lot of his teaching that night was on the Day of Babel. And up until the Day of Babel, there was one language. That was God's language. That language has power associated with it. That's the anything is possible language. And then on the Day of Pentecost, that language came back, that anything is possible language. That's one of the things with your prayer language, too. Is being baptized in the Holy Ghost. That prayer language is not just you have a prayer language. No, it's you're declaring things that you don't even know you're praying, but Holy Ghost knows. He's interceding when you have no clue what to pray and you start praying in tongues. He is praying for all kinds of things, and it's releasing power. And when you believe and agree with the Holy Spirit that what you're praying with that prayer language is coming out, powerful things happen. Exactly. I mean, we don't know what to pray for. So every prayer is led by Holy Spirit. How about the differences between the Old Testament and the New Testament with the, obviously a lot of us realize with Passover and Easter and death and resurrection. But had you guys ever seen that parallel before? What did you guys think of that parallel between Pentecost and Pentecost with the 50? Yeah, all the 3,000 being saved and 3,000 being consumed. If you guys didn't hear it, basically it's the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So there are so many parallels, and that's why you can't just accept New Testament out of the Bible. You have to take the whole thing, because every single book points to Deliverer. Every single book points to Savior. Every single book points to Jesus. And so there's so much that gets wrapped up, and I mean, especially when you get into Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, that's the easy stuff to just go, oh, okay, rules, rules, rules. I mean, Leviticus literally means rules. So, I mean, well, yeah, Mick. You think that's any accident? But yeah, the New Testament, the Old Testament, they are so interlinked. It says read Matthew, but I think instead of Matthew 7, probably Luke 11. Probably. I know Luke has exactly what I'm thinking of in it, but so Luke 11, I'll start verse 9. It says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And I'll say, I'm pretty sure Matthew doesn't say Holy Spirit. I remember specifically Luke has said the Holy Spirit there. But that is the gift that God was giving us. And he is faithful to answer that. And so Jesus was saying this long before he was crucified. He was saying this long before the resurrection. He was saying this long before Pentecost. At Pentecost, he fulfilled that very promise. And we still have that promise available to us today. Yeah, and that's just the thing is, I mean, God's not a liar. When he says he's going to do something, he is going to do it. And not just in the four Gospels, not just in Acts, but throughout the entire Bible. It's like, especially here as we start Ephesians, there are so many promises God makes us there. If he's fulfilled this about Holy Spirit, what makes us think that he won't fulfill every single thing that it says in there? When he says that we're seated in the heavenly places, guess what? We're seated in the heavenly places. If you, Tom? Yeah. I would say, and Peter even says that in Acts 2. I mean, and that's the thing is it's themes throughout the Bible. It's themes. Yep. I know we've baptized people plenty of times here at New Life in the Holy Ghost. If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit yet, come see us because it's amazing. It's power. I mean, without Holy Spirit, I really don't know how we get through anything. Danny.
Yeah, I'm speaking of that.
I would say the Holy Spirit is a gift from God.
Amen.
But Holy Spirit gives us gifts as he sees fit.
Yes.
One of those gifts is the gift of discernment.
Yes.
And without the Holy Spirit, you're not going to have that gift of discernment. Without Holy Spirit, you're not going to have that gift of knowledge, of wisdom, what it is that you need to speak in that time, what it is that God reveals to you at that specific moment. One of the things with the Holy Spirit is that is exactly why God sent us the Holy Spirit, is without him, we are powerless. And God did not want us to be powerless. That's why he sent us Holy Spirit. When you look at, we've done teachings in plenty here, and one of the things is that we've taught on the ecclesia, the called out ones. God's church is the ecclesia. We are supposed to be a ruling body, a governing body. We're supposed to be setting the laws. And the only way you set godly laws is to listen to God's laws that Holy Spirit writes on your hearts. And when God writes his law on your heart, you have to be obedient to follow what he said, what he writes on your heart. The Levitical law was, if you try to keep one thing, you had to keep everything. I don't know about you, but I read through those, and there's a lot of stuff that there ain't no way that I would be able to survive in that time frame. Exactly. I like math, but I don't like it that much. But anything else anybody wants to share? Mick? I'll say, would you say it came suddenly? Just like the Holy Spirit came suddenly. And as we all know, those suddenlies to God are not suddenlies. He had it planned out. And I have heard that the Middle East is getting ripe for the gospel. So many areas that were close to the gospel years ago, now they are having all kinds of people getting reached that otherwise they were persecuted before. But Mick again? I'll say God's never late, seldom early, and always on time. So, but yep, God's timing is always something. So, well, Father, we thank you for this teaching on your Holy Spirit. We thank you for revealing yourself to us. Lord, we do receive you. We receive you, Holy Spirit. We truly do want to walk with you. We truly do want to have you with us at all times. We want you being a major part, a complete part of us. Lord, we thank you for your power that you've given us. We thank you for the power that you are using us, each and every person in this room, each and every person that is here. Lord, we thank you for your promises that you are faithful to carry out. Lord, help us realize our authority and our place in this community, Lord. Help us realize that we are here for such a time as now. Lord, that you have given us, each and every one of us, an area of influence. You have given each and every one of us an opportunity to serve you right where we are. We thank you and praise you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.